Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. A warm welcome this Monday evening. You are tuned into another message on what it means to become a shepherd. God's ultimate plan and desire for Christians is that we will be shepherds and pastors, as the Bible says there is a time when every Christian ought to rise up from spiritual infancy to adulthood. In today's message, Bishop Dag will teach you seven areas of poimen, which is the Greek word meaning shepherd or pastor, that a minister must prepare for and go through in order to be a good steward of God's flock. Leadership is something every Christian must strive to learn, and you'll soon discover that once you decide to develop the different aspects of a shepherd's ministry, you will see God using you mightily. As you receive wisdom from today's word, you are becoming a better shepherd with the authority to feed and to lead.
Hallelujah. Why don't you put your hands together for Jesus? Oh, do it better for the Lord. Keep clapping, keep clapping, keep clapping. Hallelujah. What a blessing it is to be in God's presence once again. I believe in this season we can make God remember us by our prayers and by our giving. The Bible says, God said to Colinius, your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial. Amen. Amen. And today's testimony is just about that. Someone God blessed as he sowed into the ministry. Amen. Amen. Hi, everyone. My name is Abjohn Kofi Sangmo, a center leader in Ashalobotre region. And I want to share my testimony about the great financial provision I received through the ministry and the prophecies of our prophet. About 2 months ago, I had a strong conviction to honor my monthly Ben MP pledge, which I had defaulted for a couple of months. I made the necessary arrangements and then I paid my Ben MP pledges. 2 weeks after I made the payments, during the flow prayer meeting, someone texted me as I was praying. As you are praying, somebody will text you in Jesus' name. I was reluctant to reply the text because I was praying. Later, when I checked the text, it happened to be a lecturer of mine that I knew way back from the University of Education in Winneba, who is currently living in the U.S. She asked for my mobile money details. And in a few days' time, she sent me some mobile money. Dollars. Everybody shout dollars. I was amazed because I was very broke at that time and I was believing God to come through for me. Whilst I prayed and gave, God responded. I'm grateful to God, and I want to tell everyone who is part of this commission to honor their financial pledges they've made to God and believe God to provide for them. I believe you are the next person to receive divine provision. If you believe it, shout a big amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to read a second one very quickly about divine provision from our pastor in First Love Church, Kenya, all the way in Kenya. Hallelujah. My name is Pastor Samuel Prince, and my testimony is about God's miraculous provision for us in Kenya through the flow prayer meetings. Amen. Amen. During one of the flow prayer meetings, Prophet made us mention the names of some countries, and we prayed for them. We prayed for their top 7 cities. As we prayed for Kenya, I was believing with all my heart, and I believe those prayers we prayed caused immediate, amazing reactions. Shout immediate, amazing reactions. Just some few days after we prayed for Kenya, we got a call from the county government that they wanted to make the road to our First Love Cathedral in Thika. The building is located in a faraway place and where normally the government would not be interested to make a road. But before and when it rained, it was difficult to bring our members to the place. They had to be dropped off at about 100 meters away to walk to the cathedral. But as we prayed, God miraculously touched the heart of the county government to make the road, not only the road to the cathedral, but all the roads around the cathedral and around where the cathedral is situated. This would have cost us thousands of dollars if we were to make it ourselves. We really thank God for this great provision through the prayers, the flow prayer meetings, and through the intercession for the nations. Put your hands together for that powerful testimony. God is alive and he will show himself strong in your life. Shout amen.
Amen.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your great blessing today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I want you to turn with me to Psalm 66. And the theme of my offering taking this morning or afternoon is, I shall be stepping into my wealthy place. I shall be stepping into my wealthy place this year. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 66 and verse 12. Thou hast caused men to rise, to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Amen.
Amen.
I shall be stepping into my wealthy place this year. Amen.
Amen.
The prophecy you believe is the prophecy that you will experience practically. Amen. I shall be stepping into my wealthy place this year. Amen.
Amen.
Now, there is a wealthy place, and there is a poor place, and there is a poverty-stricken place. But God is blessing us and is saying to you today that you will step into
Amen.
Your wealthy place. Now, yesterday I looked at the Jews when they were taken to the concentration camps. I was watching a documentary about it. And for instance, in Hungary, when they decided to, in 1944, the war ended in 1945. But in 1944, from around May, June, July, they suddenly decided to take the Jews who lived in Hungary to Auschwitz and Birkenau. These are camps, and kill them. Now they are taking a lot from other countries, but that was what they felt was the solution. So even though by that time Germany was losing the war, it was like they were determined to quickly take as many people. So in Hungary, they went in, spoke to the people, the head of state, said, we are transporting the Jews from your country in trains, 10,000 a day in cattle trucks. Some of them open and they stand and they put a bucket of water and a bucket for toilet. And from Hungary to Auschwitz or where the camp was, they go. And when they arrive, these are wealthy people from families with their coats, with their luggage. And they kept taking 10,000 a day, and they were negotiating. They would take them, One train, some people managed to get a special train with 1,500 people that took them away, not to the camp, but they were some of the wealthiest Jews. You know, as I was watching, I said to myself that curses are real things. Because Moses said that if you don't obey the Lord, these things will happen. And the whole of Deuteronomy 28 describes this Holocaust. And when Jesus was being crucified, the people need not have said that, but they said his blood should be on us. They shouldn't have even said anything. You know, sometimes you wonder why you even say certain things. But they said his blood should be on us and on our children. Do you see? And what they did to Jesus was a big thing. Now, I realize that the Jews, the curse is real. The curses are real. And then the blessings are also wild. Do you see? Yeah, because Jews are very blessed also. And I think that that is the paradox of our lives. That there are real curses that are at work. That you can't, it's like the way they were taking the people every day. A train full, 10,000. When they arrived, almost everybody is slaughtered. So the person who was speaking was one of the ladies who was taken from Hungary. She was 15 years old. So when they go, they just, right at the, when you come out of the train, they just say, most of the old people go. When they saw her, they said, how old are you? 15 years. Do you have a child? Do you have no child? Okay, come here. She was like about 100 people be taken out from the train. And then the rest, straight to the gas chambers. And they knew it was a gas chamber. And all of them would die. And they needed workers to burn them every day. Continuously. Continuous. Remember that it is in June of that year that the Allies landed in France from England. They invaded Europe to come and catch Hitler. Around that time, they were on it. It's like this number must die. Whenever you see death in that fashion, especially like what we are seeing now in this pandemic, you see something abnormal. So what I'm trying to say is that almost everybody's life has this. You see, we like to say that this person is blessed and then there's no curse. But if you look carefully, you see that there are both. Blessings and curses abound in all our lives. Do you understand? And sometimes the curse seems to dominate. Other times, the blessing. And so we need to respect it, you know. Anybody who says that you can't see a curse, I mean, you, I don't know what you are seeing. But the curse is everywhere. It's real, very, very real. And even the pandemic is a curse. It's a curse thing that is moving around. And there's also blessings. So I think that our lives are a balance between the presence of curses and the presence of blessings. Now look at the Jews. As they were being destroyed, that was what made many of the Jews leave to America just before. So many of the wealthiest people in the world today, all the top newspaper, Fox, I don't know, CNN, those, what is it called? Something news, that they have a whole big family of news things, all the big film making, all the big banks, all the big airlines, all the big law firms, all the big hospitals, it's all Jewish, the banks, the money, and 40% of all billionaires are Jews. And that's, you know, I mean, it's big. So the blessing, and Einstein and all, they all left Germany and they all went. And Mercedes-Benz was designed and made by a Jew. And many things. So the curse was working, then the blessing was also there. You get what I'm saying? And many people can be traced to being Jewish in one way or another. Even Gans, I think we are from Israel. Yeah. From Israel to Ile-Ife, and from Ile-Ife to Accra. To Otubluhum directly. So what I want you to know is that there are things which are realities. They are curses. And then there are also things that are also realities that are blessings. And throughout our lives, God gives us the opportunity to do things to induce more blessings in our lives. And those blessings probably are the only answer to the curses. Because some of the curses, not that we deserve them, but they are sometimes a just judgment for things that we have done or our fathers have done. You see, you know, don't think that I don't think of my grandfathers as slave traders. But if you come from Accra or from Cape Coast, do you understand? Or Elmina or any of those places, or even Kumasi, then the north, they brought them also from there. You have to consider that it's possible that your great grandfather, he was very some way. Yes. And you know, one time, and you think that in the New Testament, what happened in the past doesn't matter. But Jesus said in Matthew 23, he said that the blood of all the righteous men which have been slain from Abel up to Zechariah should come on you. Do you see? So it's like the whole wickedness of the years, do you see, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. From the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and altar, should come on you. So it's like you will reap what has been done from Abel up to Zacharias. That's a long time. So that is what happens in our lives. So Jesus said something, and anything he said that he said that was a blessing, we need to consider carefully, because it's a window into an accursed situation. It's a window of blessing for our lives. And I believe one of the great windows of blessings for our life is to give and to learn to give. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. So no matter your state and no matter your poverty level, your riches level, learn to induce and to at least start a trickle of blessings coming on your life through giving. Become a free giver. And you know why people can't give many times? Because you don't own what you are giving to. When you are giving to your child or to your own family, you don't consider I've sown a seed. No. You never hear somebody say, no, my daughter was going to school, so I sowed a seed of 2,000 cedis in her life, you know, for the 2 semesters. You sow the seed. So it is because you don't see the church as your own. Okay. You know, but it is your church. Yeah. If I am not alive anymore, the church is not for my wife or my children. It is your church. It's a church that belongs to all of us. God's church. It's not a personal, it's not a property. So your church is building. Your church is doing something. Amen. Our church, the church that God has blessed us to be part of. So when you see the church different from you, that's why you even say, I'm sowing a seed in the church. When your child is going to school, you say, I sowed a seed. I bought biscuit and orange juice for her. So I sowed a seed in her life. Yes. No. So that mentality changes when the church becomes yours. You don't even feel that you've given. You feel that you have built what is yours. And when you stand in heaven, you'll be very happy. You know, one of our aunties died recently, and I remember just before she died, she built a church. Wow. One of our churches. Yeah, she just built the whole church. She paid for. You know, and I was thankful to God for her life, because these are opportunities. You know, what are the things you die? And that church exists, and it will exist till Jesus returns. Hallelujah. So you can also give to build churches. You can build a whole church. Several people have done that, and more are being added. You get it? You can build church buildings. You can build these churches that we are building, different smaller ones. You can build international churches. every cathedral, it's a blessing. You know, so I want to encourage all of you to really become givers. You are stepping into your wealthy place. You are stepping into your wealthy place this year. So I want you to rise up, take your offering now and your tithes. You can see some of the buildings. I don't have to say it. You just be showing all the buildings. Come on. You can see all the Dafiama, Bongo, Bunkurugu, Garinkuka. All these are churches that have been built by people. Kotonu. Show us the ones up in the north. Yaounde, Cameroon. That's a cathedral. Vawari in the north of Ghana. Kadi, Boku, Nyoli, Tinga, Baturi, Garinkukua, Bunkurugu, Bongo, Dafiama. Built by, all these have been built by individuals. There are many, many, many churches that have been dedicated. This is Cotonou, Benin, Yaounde, all over. As you do this, God is going to bless you. Limbe, Cameroon, King Kole, DRC, many, many, many. Several churches, wonderful. All right? So, Blantyre, Malawi, Cote d'Ivoire, Cape Town, Sierra Leone, Jewish Sierra Leone, Kenema, Sierra Leone, Chingola, Zambia, Lusaka, Lusaka. All this is going on with your offerings as you are giving. Kitwe in Zambia, Kitwe, beautiful. What a blessing. Amen. So take out, you are stepping into your wealthy place this year in the name of Jesus. Father, bless your people, touch your people, anoint your people, help your people as we step into our wealthy place. Lord, we see the presence of the curse, but we thank you for the blessing. The presence of the blessing will change the equation and will make something better in our lives. We give you thanks and we give you praise. Bless everyone paying their tithes, offering in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, please, this is the time for this first offering is the time for the tithes and everything. Tithes, offerings, everything that you have. Assume that you will not even give a second offering. Maybe your internet will have gone off by then. Then you say that you are not there. So the first offering, this is the main thing. So that even if there is a delay and it doesn't come on, all right, you will have given. And also, remember, we are on multi-TV. Multi-TV is working today, I hear. We are on IS20 as well, Intelsat 20. There are many, many, many opportunities for you to see. We are on Facebook, YouTube, every way possible. Just go on, and God is going to bless you. The service is being carried live. Revival will be live as well. So just give your offering now. Find it on your phone. Now, if you don't know how to give, it's appearing on the screen. Let somebody show you how it is done. If you don't know how to, it's appearing on the screen now, what you are supposed to do, what you are supposed to give, all right, and how you are supposed to give it. What a blessing. All right. Even if it doesn't appear, ask somebody. Okay. But it's not on here. Yeah, but how would I know that it's not on here? This is supposed to be the screen. All right. Okay. Let us pray. Father, bless everyone as we give. We thank you for this great blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. So whilst we are giving, we are going to receive Greater Love Gospel Choir from Tamale.
Thus saith the Lord, consider your ways, oh yeah. Go up to the mountain. and build the house of God. I will take pleasure, I'll be glorified in it. This is my will for you. But getting so very little. You have sown much but reap so little. Because of my house that lieth waste. You dwell in your own house, but my house is not built. This is the time to build my house. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Will you build my church? Will you build my house? Will you be like Nehemiah and build the house of God? Yes, I will build your church.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open up the door, I will enter in and come and sup with him.
Sup with him.
Many hear the call of God, never open up to him. Oh, I'm telling you today, just open up your heart, come and sup with him.
Sup with him.
And when he comes to you, oh, you will be
born again, changed forevermore. Born again, washed by the blood that Jesus shed for me. Give life, make him the Lord of your life. Ooh, see that girl, see that boy is born again.
Are you ashamed of the word of God? You an evil generation. Ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you on the judgment day.
Judgment day.
I say unto you, blessed are they that die in the Lord. They shall rest in him, their works will follow them on the judgment day.
Judgment day.
Will you be ready?
Hallelujah. Amen. Are you blessed to be in the house of God? Well, we've come to the most important part of the service.
Hallelujah.
And God's word is about to come to us. Are you ready to hear from God?
Yes.
I can't hear you. Are you ready to hear from God?
Yes.
And I believe today our lives will be changed. I want you to press share. I want you to invite anyone you know. Send the link by WhatsApp, by text. Share it on your Facebook page. And I know somebody's life will be changed by this service. Amen. Well, wherever you're watching me from all over the world, it's time to hear from our prophet. It's time to hear what God has to say to us. Amen. And I believe that the word of God will bring light and truth. Amen. So right before our sermon, we want to start singing. We sing a song of faith every time we're about to receive the word of God. Amen. So lift your voices. Are you ready to sing?
Yes.
Lift your voices. Lift your hands as we sing. Nothing is impossible for those who put their trust in God. Amen. Let's sing it.
Nothing is impossible.
when you put your trust in God.
Nothing is impossible.
Nothing
is impossible
when you're trusting in His word.
Hearken to the voice.
Hearken to the voice of God to me. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His word. For everything, oh everything, yes, everything is possible with God.
Come on, let's sing it again. Nothing is impossible.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God.
Nothing is impossible.
Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His word.
Hearken to the voice.
Hearken to the voice of God to me. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His word.
For everything,
everything, oh everything, yes, everything is possible
with. Give the Lord a shout of praise as we welcome Bishop Dag Heward Mills. Hallelujah.
Father, what a blessing we have today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. What a great encouragement it is to see just a few people here wearing masks today. Amazing. I hope you know that you look much nicer without masks. In case you think it's a fashion. Now, today, I'm going to share with you on what I began last week, which is the shepherding, what it means to become a shepherd. Exodus 19, verse 5. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Above what? All people, for all the earth is mine. Amen. If you will be obey, you will become that. And verse number 5, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, or a kingdom of pastors, or a country of pastors. The whole country is just pastors. And a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Amen.
Amen.
So God wants all of us. I mean, you can see that is His heart. He wants His ushers to be pastors, His singers to be pastors, His secretaries to be pastors, you know? And those who open letters in the office to be pastors, His even bishops, those who are counting money will be bishops, pastors, everything. He just wants a whole lot of pastors everywhere. And I think I'm now understanding it. I can see that is the heart of God. And in Revelation chapter 1, He also says that He has made us kings and priests. Amen. Unto Him. He has made us kings and priests. So that is the will of God. God wants us to be kings and priests. It's something that not is made some people kings and priests, but all of us have been made kings and priests. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Now, when you become a priest and you accept this great calling, you now have to develop in that. So if you turn with me to Psalm 23 and verse 1, 2, 3, 4, it says, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And continues, verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by the still waters. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me. That's the Lord who is my shepherd. That's what he does as a shepherd. Verse 4, what does he do as a shepherd? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, the rod is the symbol of the shepherd. Okay? The word shepherd is the word poimen. Poimen. If you look at John chapter 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. All right? That word shepherd is the word poimen. All right? And everywhere you see the word shepherd is poimen, and it means pastor. And also in Ephesians chapter 4, that's the word poimen, from where we have poimano. And then where he said he gave some apostles, prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors is the same word, and he gave some poimen. All right? So, in the Yoruba language, they have, it's the same thing. Poimen, they have the same word for pastor, is the same word for shepherd. They don't have different words. Okay? And what is the word? Olushuaguton. Olushuaguton. It means pastor, and the person who's looking after the animals is the same Olushuaguton. And the one who is in charge of the church is Olushuaguton. It's the same word. The guy who's looking after the sheep, is the animals, is the Olushuaguton. And in the Greek, it's the same word. They don't have a different word. But in English, we've sort of divided the animal one and the human one. But it is really the same thing. He's even giving us a revelation that human beings, we are really some way. All right? So now that you are working on in this great ministry, you must understand your role. And so there are seven ministries of poimen, and that is of someone who is a poimen in this book, what it means to become a shepherd. I'm sure you can put it up, what it means to become a shepherd. I believe I am in chapter 11 on page 87, if you have the physical book. All right? Chapter 11. Now, what will you be doing when you are a shepherd? So that's what I'm teaching you, because I'm expecting everybody to become a shepherd, including those of you who have run away from it for a long time, saying to yourself, look, this thing, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't think I'm qualified. I don't think I'm good enough. You'll be surprised to find out that you are better than a whole lot of people who you think are, you know, gooder than you. Nobody is gooder than you. The blood of Jesus puts us on the same level. You'll be surprised. That's why some people are not happy when you go to heaven. It's like, but we've served you all this time, and this bad person has come last minute and he's become a member of heaven. And how did he also come here? All right. So poimen, he gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, he gave some evangelists, and he gave some poimen. So when God gives you poimen, or gives you the work of a shepherd or a nation of priests, okay, then what does it mean? All right. He's making you into someone who is going to work for him. So there are seven areas that the poimen is going to work in your life, in your ministry. And those are the seven areas that I want us to quickly go through. Amen. Before our time runs out on us. The first one is the ruling ministry of poimen. Ruling. In Revelations 19 and verse 15, It says, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and he shall rule them. All right? He shall rule them with a rod of iron. So the first ministry of a pastor is the ruling ministry. The traditional perception of a pastor is of someone who is soft, kind-hearted, compassionate, poorly paid, available at all times, and a never-complaining doormat. This picture is not one of a ruler, but rather the picture of one who is ruled. Isn't it? A pastor is not somebody who is ruled by the people, but he's somebody who rules. He says, out of his mouth shall go a sword, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. I believe a pastor must be kind-hearted, but one of his cardinal roles is to lead and to rule. All right? So, a true shepherd, in Psalm 23, verse 1 and 2, the Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me by still waters. Okay? Verse 2 says, he leadeth me. He leadeth me. So a pastor is a leader. A shepherd is a leader. He's supposed to lead people. He leads. So leadership, that's why leadership, the art of leadership, is critical. That's why we even talk about leadership in the church. Yeah. Otherwise, we wouldn't talk about it at all. But when you become a shepherd, you are supposed to lead. All right? So every church needs a strong voice that is confident and bold in the Lord. The sheep are looking for someone with direction who knows where he is going. A pastor must lead the people spiritually and in other areas such as the family and social dimensions. When the shepherd does not have, when the church does not have a strong, capable leader, which is you, don't be thinking of me, think of yourself. All right, something is wrong. And you'll be described, but you'll be surprised to find what Isaiah described as a curse. You know, in Isaiah 3, he says, you take hold of your brother and say, let this ruin be under you. And he said, he'll give you to women and children to be your leaders. So it is a curse to have weak and spineless leadership. Amen. And it's true. You know how it is. A leader who refuses to take important decisions is doomed to failure. A good leader takes decisions when all necessary information has come into him. These decisions may be hard and painful. If you, as the shepherd, do not take them, your church is doomed to wither. Are you listening to me? So churches wither when you don't take decisions. So as myself, as the shepherd of the church, I've been taking decisions, whether people like the decisions or not. That is the job of a leader. He's supposed to take decisions and rule. And rulership is taking up decisions. Some are dramatic. Some are just within expectations. But some are not what you may expect. All right? Yeah. Now, sometimes I look at some hopelessly incompetent government corporations and agencies, and I just marvel. They make huge losses and generate a lot of waste in the system. I've been to government office where I see everyone reading newspapers. You see 20 secretaries in one office with one typewriter. They have nothing to do, yet they are paid. I know one office, they have the boss that said to me, I have 500 people, but I need only 25 people to work here, but there are 500 people employed here. All right. They sleep, eat, and chat all day, but the managers are afraid to take the decision. Do you understand that the 475 people should be laid off? Do you understand? Yes. So that is what creates the situation that you're in. The country becomes poorer and poorer, and the people wonder why. Leaders have refused to assess the situation and take strong but hard decisions. They are refusing, therefore, to rule. All right? The fear of losing political power makes democratic leaders become liars and hypocrites. All right? Now, and so on. It goes on. So you see that making necessary changes need to be made. So don't be afraid of changes. Sometimes it's only a big change that will lead to a big breakthrough. Minor transformation will take place when you take minor decisions. But a major transformation will take place when you are bold enough to take major decisions. Be a strong ruler and lead your sheep to green pastures. Hallelujah. Lady pastors can learn to be strong, firm leaders without being ill-natured or quarrelsome. All right? And lady shepherds should be gentle and effective without being cantankerous. Beautiful. All right? So that is the first ministry, ruling. The Lord is my shepherd, thy rod and thy staff. So that's why when a person is being consecrated as a bishop, we give him a staff. Because that is the symbol of the shepherd. And the rod is rule. You rule and you lead. So when you what happens where people don't realize is that when you give yourself to the ministry, it affects your personal life. Because you realize that you also take the decision that you have to take to let your church go forward and to let the church work. You realize that you have to take similar decisions for your personal life. And you realize that there's a great parallel. When I started building the church, I started building my own house at the same time. All the savings that I make for the church, I realized I can make same savings in my own life and my own situation. So leadership is something that every Christian, that's why I say every member should have the Makarios, so that you learn leadership. All right, and you find out that leading and being a strong leader, do you understand? And not necessarily just being affable or being friendly and being sociable and being available, approachable. It's not leadership. It's friendliness. Do you understand? It is being affable. It's not the same as being a ruler. Being a people's person, being friendly with the people. Everybody likes you. Everybody is happy with you. And you please everyone and so on. It is not leadership. That's not leadership. That maybe politics is like that. You know, because, I mean, you ask yourself, how can you be everything? How can you be a member of this religion? You pray in this way. You pray that to other religion. You go to this one. You visit this shrine, you appear here, you appear here, you please this group, you please that group, you please that group. And that is how come you see that nations revolve around the same place for a long time. I mean, if you die and you rise from the dead, when you come, you see things are almost the same. I mean, if you go to a place like Kolibu Hospital, you'll be shocked to find out that as it was when I first went there in 1985, do you see, 1984-85, it's almost the same. The wards, the surgical ward, medical ward, this emergency room, it's like the same. And you see, if you go to certain places where there's a higher leadership, you will not find things the same. You will not find things the same. No, there's always some, there's a ruler, and there's ruling and leading and decisions. You know something? Just tell yourself, leading is decision taking. Okay. Yes, leading is decision taking. Decisions have to be taken. And when you take a decision for yourself, you lead yourself out. You lead yourself forward. All right? Number two, ministries of the point man under the pastor is the way making ministry. Exodus chapter 14, verse 15. And the Lord said to Moses, Exodus 14, 15 and 16. Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thou thy rod and stretch thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Amen. All right? So, a shepherd is supposed to make a way through the sea so that the people can follow. Amen. Amen. So every shepherd, Moses was the shepherd of the people of Israel. His instructions were to cross the Red Sea. After receiving that command, he stretched forth his rod and made a way where there was no way. That's the way-making ministry of the pastor. Amen. When some of your members think that the house is too far, go and visit them wherever they live, and this will prove to them that their houses are not too far. Make a way for marriage. As a pastor, you often see that your sheep are looking for husbands or wives. Don't look on unconcerned and preach about how good it is to be married. Discuss the practical concerns of choosing a partner with them. Help them to notice one another. I call that shepherdorial linking. Teach your members. I'm reading my book to you. Since you are not reading, I'm reading it to you. Teach your members that they can find a good partner within the church. Some people may not like that idea, but it works and stabilizes the sheep. Of course, do not force people to marry each other. You should not guarantee them happiness if they choose someone you have recommended. Marriage is very complicated, and they may curse you for the rest of their lives for influencing them to marry someone. They will think to themselves, I would never have married this person. It was the pastor who made me marry her. True or not true? Yes, it's also true. So you are supposed to help people to marry. And I tell you, it's not just nice to stand in the and say, oh, thank God, my wife and I, you know, yesterday my wife and I were chatting, you know, my wife and I this. It's nice. But what about this one who is sitting there? My wife and I. You can't say my wife and I. You can't say my husband and I. The church is full of people that need to marry and want to marry. And as a shepherd, you are supposed to stretch your hand through the sea. Because they can't swim. They can't cross. They have no boat. They don't have money. How are they going to go? And they are looking longingly at the other side and say, how can I get there? But the shepherd is supposed to stretch his hand and let the waters part. And now you show them, this, come, I've made a way for you. And you see that God will bless you, and you see that the work of a shepherd, God is looking for many people to do it. Many people. Look, if you think one person is going to be able to do this work, then you don't understand. How can I know what is happening in Canada? When I see a Canadian, whatever, who is going to marry them? When I see people's children, who is going to marry them? Who's going to marry the daughters that we have? It's of concern. And we have to make a way where there seems to be no way. We are calling on Canadian shepherds. Do something practical. Don't just be standing there saying, my husband and I, my wife and I, and we were watching television yesterday, my wife and I, my husband and I. We had a good time yesterday, and my wife and I, my husband and I. Huh? Make a way for employment. Hallelujah. Make a way for employment. Amen. I preach to my members about prosperity and about how they should work. All right? If one of my church members is strategically positioned as an employer, I will speak to them about a sheep who needs employment. Sometimes a person you have recommended will disgrace you, but do not let that deter you from making a way for other good sheep. Hallelujah. It is not good enough to say cross the Red Sea. You must make a way for them to cross. Amen. Make a way for people to attend church. Amen. Become an expert at overcoming the excuses of church members. When they say that the church's services are too long, point out to them how many hours they spend watching video. All right? Or on their phone or pornography. When they say that the church is too far from their homes, ask them how far their jobs are from their homes. When the church member doesn't have shoes, get him a pair of shoes. Be a way maker. When you see that you're one of my shepherds, he told me he had a sister who liked wearing trousers only. So she looked like a boy. So one day he took her to the shop and said, buy dress, 1, 2, 3, 4. Change. Don't wear these trousers again. When she started wearing the dress, within a few weeks, somebody proposed to her. So that is it. He was making a way, do you understand, to help her to overcome and to get a breakthrough. All right? What a shepherd. That is a blessing. God is calling us to let everybody be involved, not just one person. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers 11. Beautiful. Verse 12. What does it say? Right. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all these people upon me? Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the suckling child, to the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? So Moses is saying, why do I have to do all these things? Only me, as a nursing father. Not even a nursing mother, a nursing father, a father with breasts. Huh? Who is now to comfort people, make a way. Hey, it's a very wild job. And he's saying that, why? I cannot be the only person. Where will I get meat for them to eat? And food for them. I am not able to bear this. And the Lord said unto him, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people and officers, and bring them to the tabernacle. And I will come down and talk with thee, and take of the spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee. Amen. That thou bear it not thyself alone. And you see, when Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, came around, he said something similar. He said, look, you are taking too much. You can't do it. I can't do this on my own. God needs shepherds everywhere, all the 190 nations. He needs lovers of the people, people who care for the people. And what happened in the desert with Moses is the great picture. In fact, it's the first place that we ever hear of the word church. The church in the wilderness. Acts chapter 7, verse 36. Quickly. All right. Acts chapter 7. All right. And verse 38. It says, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness. The church in the wilderness is where Moses was the pastor. Okay. With the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai. With our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. So the church in the wilderness is the great example of a church. All right. Where the burden is shared very much by a lot of people. No one man is any superman. It is not. There's nothing like that. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness. This is the first time you hear of church. First church we heard of, everybody thought the church just started after Jesus came. But the church started in the wilderness with Moses. All right? And it says the church in the wilderness. So there was a church in the wilderness. And that church was the church that Moses was leading. And the burden was too much for one person. So he said, look, let me share. And you know, since I've been a pastor, every time people want me to be the only one to do certain things. First, I'm the only one who should preach on Sunday. I'm the only one who should preach here. I'm the only one who should have a camp. I'm the only one who should do this. I'm the only one who should do this. But nobody is, first of all, good enough. And then number two, capable enough. And then able to do all these things and still exist or be normal. Or even for things to work out well. So everybody must join in this amazing work. So I am sharing with you these ministries so that you will realize the great work God has called you, all of us, everywhere watching, a nation of priests, people who are into poimen, into the ministries of the poimen. And the first ministry of the poimen is what? The ruling ministry. And the second one is what? The way-making ministry. And the third one is the territory-taking ministry. Amen. Exodus chapter 17, verse 9. And Moses said unto Joshua, Exodus 17, and verse number 9. Beautiful, amazing. And then Moses said unto Joshua, all right, choose men and go and fight with Amalek. Okay, tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass that as Moses held up his hand, all right, that the Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Hallelujah. So Moses stretched out his hand. He says, I will stand on the top of the hill, okay, with the rod of God in my hand. Do you see that?
Yeah.
I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Beautiful. And I'm going to take this territory from Amalek. Yes. So the rod, you see, the church in the wilderness is our great example. And you see that Moses was not just ruling and taking decisions. He was not just making a way for the people through the waters, but he was taking territories, new territories. So every church must take new territories. Now, people who take new territories are people who fast and pray. I believe in praying for long periods. I believe in fasting as the Spirit leads. Moses, the shepherd of God's people, stretched out his hand in warfare against Amalek. Moses' rod symbolized the power of intercessory prayer, because as long as Moses stretched out, they were winning. It is the art of traveling in prayer for the ministry. What you see happening in the physical is only a manifestation of what has taken place in the spirit world. Amen. Anyone who calls himself a pastor must learn to fight with prayer in the realm of the spirit. If you want to have a big church, you must learn to fight for it in the spiritual realm. Every physical territory is occupied by evil spirits who dominate the area. Africa is dominated by territorial spirits of poverty, superstition, and war. That is why the continent, although blessed with human and natural resources, is plagued with backwardness and underdevelopment. Europe is dominated by territorial spirits of atheism. I wrote this book 20 years ago, Homosexuality and Immorality. That is why there are ministers who are homosexuals and millions who do not believe in God over there. There are even gay clubs within churches today. This is the return of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it certainly signals imminent destruction. I wrote this 20 years ago. Any shepherd who wants to do the work of ministry will come face to face with territorial spirits of that area. When I travel from place to place, I can virtually feel the difference in the spiritual atmosphere. When I'm in Ghana, I sense a lighter and easier spiritual climate than when I am in a place like Switzerland. Develop the art of intercession for taking more territories for God. We are taking 190 nations for God. That means you must develop several important prayer skills. So, 4 important prayer skills you must develop. Number 1. The art of praying alone for several hours. Jesus did that. If we want to have the result that he did, we must use the methods that he did. All right? Luke 9:18. And Jesus was alone praying, and his disciples were with him. Also praying with people. Number 2, I'm giving you 4 ways to take territory. Amen. 4 ways to take territory through prayer. 1 is the art of praying alone for several hours. Number 2, the art of leading people into long hours of advancement prayer. The art of what? Leading people into long hours of advancement prayer. Whenever we have fasted and long hours of prayer, I often lead the church myself. I do not delegate it to anybody. Sometimes we have prayer meetings from 8 o'clock in the morning until 8 o'clock in the evening. Teach people to pray in tongues for hours. It's a very important practice. Many times I take my pastoral staff to the mountains to wait on God. We pray from morning till evening every day until we return. Jesus took his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. Lead your church to pray for church growth. Lead your sheep to ask God for the increase. There are many ways that the increase will benefit all the church members. So tell them that it is for their own good to take new territories in Christ. Are we doing that today or not? Is it not amazing? We wrote it 20 years ago. And we are leading, the art of leading people into long hours of advancement prayer. Now, practically, number 3, The art of praying with the Spirit and with your understanding. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul asked the question, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with understanding also. He said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. Apostle was very happy about speaking in tongues, but he also prayed with his new understanding. In taking new territories, you must learn both aspects of prayer. Praying in tongues is useful. Spend time, hours in the Spirit concerning your future and your ministry. Pray with the understanding also. As you pray with your understanding, you will find yourself praying out the prophetic for your life. You will find yourself speaking words of faith concerning church growth and ministry. Hallelujah. I pray continuously with my understanding for several hours, if necessary. Today, there are many Christians who cannot pray for more than 1 minute with their understanding. They can only pray in tongues. It is a sign that they are shallow and don't really know God. Every pastor must be able to stand up and pray for at least 1 hour in their understanding. I remember when I was in Geneva praying for church growth. I remember praying with my understanding for long periods. It was a powerful time of fighting the devil and taking territory for God. What do you think? Is it a powerful book? You see, you are not reading it. Number four, the art of travailing in prayer. There is something called travailing prayer. It is the art of prayer that results in the giving birth of a new spiritual baby. It may be a baby church. It may be a new Christian. It may be a new ministry. It may be a fellowship. It may even involve giving birth to a mature Christian from a baby Christian. Apostle Paul traveled twice for the Christians in Galatia. The first time was to give birth to the Galatian church. And the second time was to give birth to a Christ-like maturity in the church. So you can travail twice for the thing to exist in the first place. And then number two, for the thing to mature. And I believe that God is leading us to pray in these times, our advancement prayers, to let the church move. It exists, but to move forward, hallelujah, into different denominations. Yes. That's why when you go on Facebook Live, you not see one church. If you look at, let's say, only First Love Center, you've not seen us. We are different denominations are all watching in different ways and in different places. So it's we are many. Though we are many, we are one body. Yeah, it's a long time since we sang that song. We should sing it again. Amen. The art of traveling in prayer. Now, how will you know when you are practicing traveling, birth-giving prayer? It is very simple. Until your prayers have begun to resemble what happens in the labor ward, you have not begun to pray travailing, birth-giving prayers. Let me give you three characteristics of travailing prayer. Number one, long hours. Yes, women in labor spend hours and sometimes days in the labor ward trying to give birth to a new baby. You cannot claim that a three-minute prayer is travailing prayer. Nobody gives birth to a baby in 3 minutes. When you pray travailing prayers, you will give birth to a bigger church, to new ministries and new things in God. You see, there are people who are watching and are part of the flow prayer meetings, and you are saying, oh, I've never seen a bishop is leading out a prayer. We have never seen that. Then you see, you are not following closely. Yeah. This book, I wrote it 20 years ago. The first book was written in 1998. That was Loyalty. And then I think followed by this one. Loyalty and Joy was written in 1998. That's 22 years ago. This is an early book. You can even see from the way it's written. Yes. The newer books, I don't have much to say, just points. Yes. I have a lot to say, but sometimes you realize that, look, this is the truth, accept it or not. Amen. Are you listening to me? Yes. Number two, suffering and shame. Every normal woman suffers in the process of having a baby. That is why it's called labor ward and not a playing ward. Okay. It is a ward of struggles and pain. It's not playing ward, it's labor ward. How will you know when you are practicing travailing birth prayer? It is very simple. All right? Oh, sorry. One day in 1980, I had an experience in labor ward and I had to catch a number of babies. Anyway, another form of suffering comes when you fast. Fasting is not easy. The only part of fasting I enjoy is the breaking of the fast. Is that not the part you enjoy most? That's the part I like most about fasting. Sometimes just the thought of the time that I'll break the fast encourages me to want to fast, because that feeling is special. There's some hunger and then some satisfaction that you have conquered something and then you're about to eat. You know? One day I spoke to a millionaire. He told me that he had a private jet, and he told me, look, there are only 2 days that you enjoy the private jet. The day you buy it and the day you sell it. Those are the 2 days that you'll be happy with this thing. I was asking where his jet was. He said it's not around, but there are only 2 days that you enjoy, the day you buy and the day you sell it. Mercy. All right, so the fasting to the day that we enjoy it is the day that is over. All right? Now, the third aspect of travailing prayer, all right, is hunger and tiredness. Christians want everything easy, but the Bible says, whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. Travailing prayer will make you tired. Sometimes on Tuesdays and Fridays, when we pray, we are tired. So you see, we are dozing. Some people are half asleep. Sometimes I'm leading just a few people here. You see, some are going like this. They'll be going like that. You see that they're falling asleep. Hey, eyes will be like this as I'm talking. I see something is killing them. The one writing the scriptures is gone. It's gone. It's a labor word, not a playing word. It's not a joking place. Hey, Christians want everything easy. All right? Now, Epaphras was a laborer. He toiled in prayer. He toiled in prayer for the Colossian church. When women deliver babies, they are often hungry and tired. Now, they don't allow a woman, when she's going into labor, they don't allow her to eat. The reason is because if the baby gets stuck, they may have to operate. And then if they have to operate, you shouldn't have eaten. It's dangerous to have food in your stomach when they are putting you to sleep. So they don't allow them to eat. So by the time they finish the labor, they are very hungry and tired. Because, Charlie, they've suffered. So when we are in labor word prayers, you get it? You see that we are now tired and hungry. Don't you feel tired and hungry on Tuesday? Yes. Even in between, you want to fry an egg. Hallelujah. After many hours of labor and suffering, you can expect to have something tangible in your hand. You are going to have something tangible in your hand. That is why it is such a terrible experience for a woman to go to a labor ward and to come back without a baby. Expect a new baby of ministry in your life. The word of God cannot be broken. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Hallelujah. Under the ministry of Jesus, we see travailing prayer in action. To every success story, there are hours of hidden preparatory work that no one sees. People marveled at Jesus. They said what? Never man speak like this man. John 7:46. They glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Multitudes were converted under his ministry. The big question was, whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? The secret of Jesus Christ's ministry was long private prayer times. Hallelujah. Luke 6:12. He went out into the mountain to pray and prayed a great while. Decide to be like Jesus. I laugh to myself when people say I am a strategist. Many people think I'm just a good administrator, and that is why my church is growing. I know some people who think I do not pray much. It is sad when a person has a good administration and it is assumed that he is not prayerful. Yeah, people look at me and say, oh, Bene, he's a white man, Charlie, he's a whatever, the administrator, whatever, he's using strategies for the church. This is a church, oh. It's not a corporation. It's a spiritual body. Amen. The third ministry of appointment, comforting. How many have we done? Three? This is the fourth. The comforting ministry. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. Is it powerful? What is a comforting ministry? This is going to be your work as a shepherd. What is your first job as a shepherd? Ruling ministry, decision taking. Amen. Number two, way making for people. You must be making ways for people. Don't be happy in your house as you are happy. You have a child, somebody doesn't have a child. You have a husband, somebody doesn't have a husband. You have a wife, somebody doesn't have a wife. You are happy, somebody is not happy every day. Number three, territory taking ministry. We've talked about taking territories. Long hours of advancement prayer. Number four, the comforting ministry. One of the principal ministries of a shepherd is to comfort the sheep. Every sheep should be able to say to his shepherd, your rod and your staff comfort me. Wow. Did you hear what I said? I said every sheep should be able to say amen to his shepherd. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Some people do not know why their churches do not grow. The shepherd must genuinely love the sheep and care for them when they are in trouble. Never lose the opportunity to be by your sheep's side in time of difficulty. The duty of the shepherd is to stand by his sheep in the time of their greatest need and also their greatest joy. It is not an option. Remember that sorrow shared is half sorrow and joy shared is double joy. The sheep want to share their sorrows and also their joy with their shepherd. It is the duty of the shepherd to comfort the sheep. The comforting ministry starts by showing interest in things that are important to the sheep. Be interested in all of their major events, especially the birth of a child, their marriage, their sickness, their funeral. God expects you to be there and their crisis as well. Yesterday, I was in my house, resting, relaxing, when I got a message that I must officiate a wedding in America. Yes. Yes. So I had to arise out of my slumber and arise and go and officiate a wedding in America. Wow. In the United States of America. So I rose up and I officiated the wedding, blessed the couple. Because, and I said to myself, even though it was a sort of like, the time wasn't so good. And I said to myself, no, this is a very important thing for this person. A person sends me texts and so on. So my wedding, I want you to officiate. It's very important. So you see, God wants people who will be there. She wanted me to be there. She wanted me to pray for her. She wanted me to speak and to do the vows and to bless her and to preach. So I got up. I said, no, it's very important. I jumped up. My wife said, what is it? I said, I'm going to a wedding. In the night. I said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to a wedding. Whose wedding? I said, America. I'm going to America right now. Yes, I dressed up and everything and went. Are you listening? Yes. If you, the shepherds, do not genuinely love your people, they will not respond to your people. What is important to your sheep must be important to you. If you claim to be a pastor, what are you doing to show real love to your sheep? Shepherds, if you do not genuinely love your people, they will not respond to your preaching. The Bible says that God is angry with the shepherds because they have not ministered to the sheep under the comforting ministry. Ezekiel 34 verse 4. The disease have you not strengthened. Neither have you healed that which was sick. Neither have you bound up that which was broken. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and cruelty have you ruled them. The sheep often know the word before you preach. What they want is some love. Amen. True or not true? Most of you think that you know the message I'm preaching already. Everybody responds to love. It is only demons that cannot be loved. Remember that love never fails. The Bible does not say preaching never fails. The Bible does not say teaching never fails. The Bible says love never fails. The comfort ministry is love in action. Amen. Is it fantastic? It's fantastic? Beautiful. So you see, how can one person show comfort and love to so many people? It's not possible. That's why Jethro, the father-in-law to Moses, which was in the church in the wilderness, he told him, divide the people into hundreds, divide the people into thousands in Exodus. He told him, look, you can't do this on your own. Share the burden. Share the burden. Share the burden. So he had to share and divide to thousands, to hundreds to whatever. He shared all the people and he continued and he said, and the Lord will command you so. Amen. Are you there? Beautiful. Now, am I doing what God called me to do? All right. The measurement, have I moved on? The measurement ministry. Yeah. Measurement. Revelations chapter 1. So this is number 5 or 6. 5. One of the principal duties of a shepherd is to do the measuring ministry. Amen. Now, measuring the temple helps you to know where you stand. There was given to me a reed like a rod, and the angel stood and said, arise, measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. This involves a critical analysis of the way things are going. Pastors need to take time off to analyze themselves and see whether things are being done according to the call of God. The first thing you must constantly measure to yourself is ask yourself, am I doing what God called me to do? The reason why I'm writing books is because I believe it is in obedience to the ministry God gave me to teach his word. No matter what additional ministry I have, I'm constantly trying to fulfill the call of God on my life according to his specifications. Even when I had over 50 churches to oversee, my self-analysis, measurement ministry, made me see that I had to keep on pastoring the church and teaching the word of God. If pastors and ministers were to analyze their ministry, it will help them to take important decisions. Amen. Amen. Once I was chatting with a pastor who had been in the ministry for 12 years. After being in the ministry for 12 years, he had only 25 members in his church. His church was in a city where there are many large churches. By analyzing the reality of this situation, the pastor would have been helped to take an important decision. As surely after some years, there must be some growth. Anything that is alive and healthy grows naturally. I'm believing God that at least half of our churches will be mega churches. What do you think? I believe in God that half of all our churches will be mega churches. When I say mega, I mean huge. 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 Everybody say huge. Yes. Amen. You see, measurement, you know, self-analysis. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith. Amen. Examine yourself. Whether they be in the faith. You be in the faith. Hallelujah. Now, in other words, examine to see whether you are within your call and whether there is anything that you need to change. Can you imagine if Mercedes-Benz that is being sold today was exactly the same as it was 50 years ago? It would be a different car. Mercedes-Benz of today is still a Benz, but it's a much improved version of the 1950 model. That is how our churches and ministries must be. Constantly upgraded and improved. Amen. Constant. Look, I remember watching a documentary about Hitler. Hitler is one of the most filmed and documented people on earth ever, Adolf Hitler, because I think he resembled Satan more than anybody else. You know? And his convoy, and he had a train, he had a plane. Even his assistant, Himmler, had a train. Yeah, they have trains. Like, this is my train for meetings, for everything. And he had a convoy. And his convoy was Mercedes-Benz. If you see those cars and you say, that is a Mercedes-Benz, that's the Mercedes-Benz. Can you imagine if that Mercedes-Benz is not upgraded up to today's Mercedes-Benz that we see? And you don't make changes if what Hitler was using in the convoys that Adolf Hitler was using, that's the same car. We've not modified the tires, modified the engine, modified the body, modified the style, modified this, modified that, and keep on changing it to make it. It's not about leaving. I won't do a car again. It won't be called Mercedes again, but it will be a different thing. It's always been modified. It's still the same Mercedes-Benz, but the changes are within the Mercedes-Benz. That is why you see the type of car that you see today. And it's still the most elegant car. Because the changes that need to be made are made. Now, there are people who don't want changes. As for our church, there's changes all the time. Look, you can't stay here within 1.5 years. There will not be major changes. Then it's not this church. There are major changes all the time. There are major changes all the time. Because once you put a measurement, then you say, hey, that's how come we were able to move. I was able to move from the Kodesh to First Love Church. That's how come I was able to ask Bishop Saki to move to the Kadesh that we started. And another one here, Kadesh, Kadosh, different ones we started. How do you think that is possible? When I analyzed, I said, look, we have been here together three. When we used to counsel people, it's myself, Bishop Saki, Bishop Eddie, with three of us counsel one person. Until the day I said, you know something, maybe we can do more if you counsel, then I also counsel. That is how that one too started. Before it went on until, it's okay, now go here. If you keep on measuring and analyze, you will start to see that, this Mercedes-Benz is becoming a very ancient car. We better change the style of the door or the way the windscreen is going. Yes. And we keep on changing. So when people don't want changes, you can't stay here. And that's why sometimes some people have to leave. Because when you make the change, they don't want to move on. Hey, man, you got to move out. And you can see that God has given us humble people who are able to make changes. I say, hey, change, move this. Prophet Kakra was in Kumasi. I say, hey, you have been here for 20 years. Come to Accra. And my father-in-law, my father-in-law, 90 years old when he died, who is Prophet Kakra's father? When I asked Prophet Kakra to move to Accra, he spoke to my mother-in-law and said to her, Dag, you're a very wise man. Which means Dag is very wise. I'm very wise. I asked him to move. Yes. I said, move here. You see, you can't, and we have to measure, analyze the ministry. All that, analyze what you are doing. Analyze the fruits. Analyze. I analyzed the other day the age of my pastors, the age of the bishops. I said, 50. A lot are hitting, clocking 50. Yes. What does it mean? If we don't think about it and start to have younger people who are bishops, what's the future of the ministry? That's why I said, arise and measure the temple. Arise and measure the temple. Analyze the thing, what is going on. Analyze it properly. Open your eyes and see. All the time, there is analysis going on of what is happening. And that is what leads to changes. That's what leads, okay, move here. Okay, you do this. No, we'll not do this anymore. We are changing this. This one should do this. Okay, this one should lead. Lead the worship. Do this. Sing. This one, stand here. Preach. Okay, you try. No, you do the announcement. We introduce a grace dance. We haven't even returned from the pandemic. We are having a dance. Why shouldn't we be happy? Like, if you don't want changes, you can't stay here. Honestly, I realize that people, and you see, one of the things is that our human nature is to resist change. Naturally, anything that is a change, we feel there's something bad. If I say, this person move here, I create new. We never had a convener. Today we have a convener. We never had a UD headquarters. That UD headquarters is like our Vatican. That's our headquarters. Why not? We never had an archbishop. One day I said, look, we need an archbishop in our church. People say, what I do? Can I know that? I said, look, we need it. And today you should see the work he's doing. Every day he's somewhere. Hey, when he's going, I'm so thankful. I said, my God. Ish. This man has saved my life, I tell you. Because the things that he's doing, they are so important. You know, but many times, I will not be able to do those things. But he has to do that. He has dedicated so many churches. He sits out so many issues, people's needs, funerals, different things. They are so critical and important. Recently, he made a wall of remembrance. We had already got it, but he improved it and all that. And people whose parents, people whose families have been pastors, every pastor in our church who's ever been a pastor in our church and has died, his name is on that wall. It's our wall of remembrance. Dedicated, he will unveil a curtain, everything. And you see the plaque there. Beautiful. We say thank you for your contribution to the ministry. Is it not important? It's very important. Somebody has been in the church for years. We remember and we honor them. So, look, if you don't want measurement, I suggest that you find another place. Ask your neighbor who is sitting by you, or if there's a neighbor, I think you ask, find another place. Not another place. Yes. Yeah. Recently, I had my pastors in Liberia. I just decided, I said, you know what? I want this guy move to Madagascar. I said, no, move here. I need you to be there. And I think it's better. And then he moved. Anything. Move here, move there. Go here. This one should come here. Form a new office. We never had Healing Jesus campaign. Then suddenly we said we had it. We had East Gospel Crusade. I said, oh, no, we've changed it. Healing Jesus Crusade. So you see that the Benz is changing, but it's still a Benz. And it's still the same car. And it's still the same company. Those of you who think that changing and measuring means jump out of the ship. Change from making Mercedes-Benz to making wheelbarrows. It is a different type of thing. That is rebellion and abandoning ship. Abandoning the ship. No. Examine yourselves. So our church, we are trying always. And as pastors, we should examine ourselves. Some of us, if we examine ourselves, we will take very good decisions. Very good decisions for yourself. You improve yourself. Some of you, if you analyze it, I have bread to eat. I have food. I have money. I have this. What else am I going to get before I die? Let me serve the Lord. And some of you in your 50s or even your late 40s, you'll be taking quality decisions for the ministry. Some of you will even say, what am I doing here? Charlie, I'm going to Taiwan. I'm going to see whether I can find some Taiwanese souls for Jesus Christ. So examine yourselves and you see that something can change, something can improve. Amen. Amen. And I know that God is doing the great improvement for your life. Hallelujah. Amen. I always marvel. Amen. All right. We must compare. If you see something in the Bible that is not in your church, all right, strive to attain that biblical standard. Amen. That is how come we have miracles in the church. Because there was a time I said, no, there's no miracle in the church. We never had it. We never had miracle wave services. We never had a Healing Jesus campaign. We never had all these things we didn't have. I analyze. I say, hey, when I measure myself, I see that I'm falling short. And then I started. So it's beautiful. We never had Galatians 6:6 in the way we have it now. But there was a time I said, no, I am the shepherd. There's one shepherd and one church. I'm the shepherd of all the churches. UD, First Love, everything. Honor your prophet. That's the right thing to do. And I am expecting everybody to do the right thing. And as people have done it, pastors are more honored in the church by doing that. Pastors, individual pastors are more honored because they are taught shamelessly by their pastors that let us honor our prophet. That's the right thing to do. Let us not be ashamed of measuring. Let us not be ashamed of change. If you think that there will be no change, tomorrow you see that I'm changing. Even the names of our churches, we change them. Yeah. Name, even the names of the church, effortlessly. We change the names of denominations. Look at the north. It was all Lighthouse. Now I've changed the name. I said, look, I've got a nicer name. It's called Jesus is the Answer Church. I shouldn't change my name of my church. I'm changing it. I'm sorry about what you think. And it has changed. I feel it's a nice. I never thought of that name before, but I think that the message, the name of the church itself is a preaching. And as you drive all over, you see Jesus is the Answer Church. Jesus is the Answer Church. Jesus is the Answer Church. To me, I feel happier than calling it Lighthouse Chapel International. And too bad if you don't like it, because it's a measurement ministry. I know one day we'll not be around, but the church will be there. And the church will be saying to everybody who comes there that Jesus is the answer. Amen. So please do not let Satan fill you with rebellion at changes, improvements, modifications, changes of name, changes of roles, changes of people, transfers of people. This one go here, this one come here. It's part and parcel. We'll do it now. One, even during the pandemic, we are moving things. Yes. Created new councils, new offices, different things. I'm transferring people all the time. It's part of analyzing where we stand. So please flow, because that is it. And when you do that for yourself, yourself will start to change. Many years ago, I remember, whenever I think of this measurement mission, I remember the day that Bishop Moses Sono visited us in Ghana. It was like 10 years since we started the ministry. I think it was around 1994, 95. All right? And it was like, the ministry, I don't remember, but we had just been for 10 years. And it was like all our churches and everybody came together on the Sunday. And we were 1,400 people. Wow. Now, after the service, I became depressed because I was thinking that my whole life and ministry is 1,400 people. All the so-called churches and branches and everything together was 1,400 exactly. Do you understand what I'm saying? And when I put the measurement ministry on it, I said, mm-mm. And I always remember that Sunday because that was the first Sunday that he came. And there was a brother, I think it was Dennis. He was the one doing the counting. So when they counted and they brought, I said, oh, this is a joint service of everybody together. Global joint, everyone has gathered, gathering, super, mega, everything big. Collegono, 1,400. So that, you see, then when I measure, I said, no, there's something not the best. The mega church must come on. So keep on measuring. Don't be afraid of looking at yourself. Last week, Friday, we were preaching about, during the flow service, judging yourself severely, correct yourself ruthlessly, and serve God perfectly. Please, prepare for more changes in our church. And humility will let you flow. Because when the bell goes, bling, the day you hear that I'm dead, I'm gone. That is bling. That whatever I've done, I've been able to do. And I determined that before I leave, there will be churches that did not exist that are existing. What do you think? Is it not a good vision? And you too, let's believe God that before you finish this world, there will be churches that exist. There will be people that are saved that were not saved before you came. Churches that did not exist before you came to do something, to put your strength behind it. What a blessing. Hallelujah. If people helped the poor in the Bible days, strive to have a church which ministers to the poor. Do not say that people who minister to the poor do so because they don't have anointing to win souls. Accept the fact that it is a biblical standard you must attain. It is because we don't measure what we are doing that we continue in the wrong thing for a long time. Ask yourself, am I a good person? Ask your wife or husband what he thinks about your character. How many should we be at this stage? Measure your performance and analyze your duties. Don't be like a husband or wife who appears so glorious on the outside. They call each other sweetheart, or they call each other honey in public, but are brewing a stormy divorce at home. If you assess and judge yourself, God will not have to judge you. Amen. Sweetheart and honey. Sweetheart, sweetheart and honey. Babes. Hey. Blackberry. You'll be saying, sweetheart, sweetheart, please come. I want to find out something. Sweetheart, do you have any money there? And they'll shout the sweetheart. But in the house, they'll say, Ekwa. They say, yeah, mommy. Mercy. All right. So, you know, one of the changes that came up, we never used to have an orphanage. We never used to have a hospital. As we speak now, we are just about to inaugurate our hospital for cripples. It's only for handicapped. Yes, I never had such things. I used to think to myself that people who do these things, they don't have anointing, they don't have soul winning power. That is why they are doing such things. You see, when I analyze in the Bible, I can see it is there. Remember the poor. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now I have even more zeal. As soon as we inaugurate this one, we are starting a third hospital. And that one is specially for the blind. Yes, only blind. And it's free. Anything we do in those hospitals is free. It's free, free, free. Yes. If you want to help, you can help. We are doing just for free. I've gone to measure the land. We are doing the drawings and everything for the blind hospital for the blind. Only special treatment for them. If you were blind, you will see what it's about. Anything that they need. Mattresses, buckets, key soap, this, everything for them. I never used to do those. But when I analyze and I do the measurement ministry, I say, no, something is missing. I'm not like Jesus. Jesus told the rich man, he said, if you will be perfect, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor and follow me if you want to be perfect. That's a man who was not committing fornication, adultery, this. If you want to be perfect, come and join me to minister to the poor. So perfection is ministering to the poor. Yes. It's a revelation. Perfection is ministering to the poor and those who are in difficulty. That's a perfection. It's not, I don't commit fornication, I don't do this, I don't do this, I don't do this, I don't do this. These are new. When you put the measuring tape, you see that, Charlie, you are lacking. He said, I'll show you a more perfect way. He said, covet earnestly the best gift, but I'll show you a more perfect way. There's a higher way. And that way was love. Are you there? If thou will be perfect. Put it up. If thou will be perfect. And the verse before, he espoused all his good traits before, in verse 10. The young man said, all these things have I kept from my youth. Oh, from my youth, I not just that. Look at the verse before that. The verse before. Make the thing smaller so we see. Honor thy father, love thy neighbor, this and that and so on. He said, I've been doing these things. Then Jesus told a man who obeys all the commandments, a man who honors his father, a man who helps this, a man who does. If you want to be perfect, poor. But I never had that mind before. Now I have that mind. Beautiful. So when we inaugurate our beautiful hospital for cripples and handicapped, we are going to provide legs. We have bought all the legs already. Legs for people, arms, legs, joints. We are going to put it on. Modern legs for them to walk. Some of the people that are holding crutches, they will not be holding crutches. Why not? That's what we are doing. If that would be perfect. So these are measurement ministry. And I want everybody to take your ruler and go and put a ruler on your life and your ministry as a shepherd. And you are going to see. Amen. Number 6, the ministry of correction. Poimen. Correction. 1 Corinthians 4:21. Shall I come to you with a rod or in love in the spirit of meekness? 1 Corinthians 4:21. Shall I come to you with a rod in the spirit of meekness? Some people think that the pastor must be so soft that he cannot point out evil and correct it. The worst type of pastor is the one who cannot correct things that are going out of line. It is important to purge out certain tendencies from the flock. When your sheep realize that you are a weak leader, they will take you for a ride. Amen. Amen. I once had a horse, the story is in the book, called Black Beauty. I was not an experienced rider. When it was time for riding, they choose the horse and they give you the horse. You go and pick it from the stable. So I took the horse, and when I sat on, Black Beauty was the name of my horse, and he knew that I was not experienced. They can tell. So when we went out, we were in a line, about 15 or 20 horses. We were all walking. When we got to the boundary, we were going out to the field. That's the land around Bema camp. We're going to the wilderness. When we got there, Black Beauty stopped and everybody was going. I kick, he will not move. I hit it, he will not move. He stood there, Black Beauty. And I was the rider, I was the ruler. But he said, yeah. Somebody left the ride and came back and told me, do this to make it move. Hit it like this, do this. I did everything. Yeah, he will not move. Can you believe? He turned around and took me back. Yes. He knew that he had a weak leader, a weak rider. And that is how it is. When people see that you are not strong, they will try to take you for a ride. Yes. And so a good shepherd, the correction, the rod of correction, said, no, this way and not this. And when people need to be rebuked, pow, You are ready to rebuke them. It's not all nice things. So you know what I did for Black Beauty? That is where I went to see my father's jockeys. And I explained to them the problem that I had. And they told me that we have something called Allay. You know Allay? It's a type of whip. They said they will give me that. They use it for stubborn horses. It's a special whip with a stick, a rod, and then a long whip with like, it's like iron. It goes, and they showed me how to use it. So I got my Allay, practiced my riding, and I went back. I said, let's see who is the leader today. From that day, no horse could lead me. So God gave me a lesson. If you are the leader, lead. Don't let your family lead. Some people even in their houses, their wife leads them. Yes, the wife is the leader. Go here, go here, go here, go here. She's leading this way. She's guiding. Sex come on at this time. No, not for the next 2 or 3 months, 6 weeks, this. Hey! Black Beauty. Do you have a Black Beauty in your life? Yes, you need an Allay. You need a what? An Allay. I don't know how they spell it. Don't ask me how they spell it. Allay. Lead with a rod of correction whenever necessary. And the rod of correction, no one should lead you. Lead. One time I told a pastor, I said, move here. He said, no, I want to move here. I said, no, here. He said, no, please. I said, no, here. And I'm not changing my mind. Go there. I'm not changing my mind. Go there. One time I told someone, I said, once I've taken this step, I will not change my mind. No. You comply. I will not change my mind. So you see, you need also to be strong. Weakness can cause the whole ship to go astray. Well, how many of you would like to be in a ship led by a weak leader? So rise up and be a strong leader and correct your ship. Some people need to be shouted at. Some people need to be rebuked. What are those words in the Bible for rebuke, correct, long, what? Reproofs. What are those English words for? Correction, instructions. What do they mean? And when are they to be used? In heaven? Are they to be used in heaven? At what point would they be used? Yes. And you see, your response to correction is what shows your character. Yes. And I've seen that always humility is so important. When you correct somebody who is humble, the person just coolly takes it. Thank you. Or even if it shakes the person's butt, flows. But where you see the spirit of Lucifer, Satan, rise up like a cobra, threaten you with venom flowing like that. You know, when you meet a cobra, you have to also protect your eyes, because when it goes into your eyes, it can blind you. From afar, it will spew the poison like that. So you need to sort of put a glass there so that the poison goes on the glass. And you see it whitish on the glass. I saw somebody doing it with a cobra. And they are spraying you. They are spraying just because you have corrected it. Just because what? You've corrected it. He's raising his finger like this. Venom and poison, polluting. But the rod of correction said, this way is the way we are going. One time I had some pastors, they said, I should give them a percentage of the offering in the church. Because they use their car, their tires are worn out. They go, they are lay pastors, they travel to go and preach and they come back. So the tires are worn out. And another one said that he had a lot of repairs on his carburetor. Those days we use carburetor. So his up and down that he's doing, he needs it. And I said, no way. No way. A lay pastor is a lay pastor. We are not giving money for choristers. We are not giving money to pastors. We are not giving transport. We don't do it. Hey, they came together, 4 pastors. Wrote a strong letter to me. I said, I will not move from this position. If you don't like it, leave. And all of them left. Where are they today? Where are they today? Where are they today? Correction. That's why we have what we call the lay ministry. We have lay ministry. We have full-time ministry.
We have people that have a full-time ministry in Sierra Leone, in different, the poorest country. 90% of people in Liberia don't have jobs. 90%. 90% unemployment. That's where people are. These people are there. If even they get $100 or $200, different. It's a breakthrough. We have lay, we have full-time. We are not changing that. You need to understand, to be a leader, you always meet chorus and rebellious people who want to rule the church with like a black beauty spirit. Black beauty meaning the horse, please. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So this is a blessing. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Know ye not that a little leaveneth, leaveneth the whole lump. All right. A little leaven. Mike Meadows says, what you allow grows. If you allow something, it will grow in the church. All right. Some of the sheep, concerning correcting the sheep, does not mean you should disgrace them. You can correct them without disgracing them. If you do not correct them, they will begin to, that thing will spread in the congregation. To some of the sheep, you must be rough and hard. With others, you must actually dismiss them from the church. I remember one pastor who stood in the pulpit, looked at two giggling girls and shouted from the pulpit, Ruby, walk out. And she had no choice but to walk out and never return. Amen. I call this the RWO treatment. Some people need to be dismissed from the church. Their presence in the church is not desirable nor helpful. So get rid of them. It's as simple as that. Proverbs 22 verse 10. I wrote this book 20 years ago. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out, and strife and reproach shall cease. Yes. This, it was a church in Accra. The pastor was preaching, and these two girls were laughing. You know how some people, they talk to each other? They were talking. So the pastor was preaching, and the way that pastor preached, very monotonous. He just looked as if he doesn't see the earth. Suddenly, he stopped, and he turned. He said, Ruby, walk out. He just turned and said, Ruby, walk out. And Ruby walked out. Walk out of the church. It's not our church. It was another church. Yes. Chassele moquer. Yes. There are people, you need them to go out. I prayed for, there was a sister, she had a lot of problems. I called her to my office. I prayed for her. But while I was praying for her, I closed my eye, but I left the right eye slightly open. So the right eye was looking. So as I was praying, I was looking at her. She thought my eyes were closed, but I was spying her with the right. And I saw that she didn't even close her eyes. She was just looking at me. I prayed and prayed and prayed, trying to see whether if the prayer gets louder, her eyes will close. But whether louder or softer, her eyes were just looking at me like that. When I finished, I said, sister, do you believe the prayers I've prayed? She said, no. And I gave her 10 marks for honesty. And I said, leave my church. Go to another. And I gave her addresses of different churches. And she went just down the road about 1 kilometer away. She went to another church. I never saw her up till today. But I heard a message one day that she was at that church. And I said, thank God. You don't have to follow me. You don't have to stay. You don't believe in me. Cast out the mockers. There are people who mock us. It's up to them. God will reward you according to your works. All fig trees that mock Jesus, they withered. Yeah. Finally, number 7, the feeding ministry. So what are the poignment ministries? I hope you are enjoying poignment today. This is poignment. Poignment number 1 is what? The ruling ministry. That is leadership. So do you understand why you need the art of leadership? Yes. The ruling ministry. Number 2 is what? The way-making ministry. The rod, Moses stood before the Red Sea and made a way where there was no way. So we are supposed to make, God is raising up people in Switzerland, in England, in Germany, everywhere to make a way where there is no way for people. To help people who cannot swim. Wow. How many realize not everybody can swim? Charlie. Number 3. This is poignment, the ministries of poignment. Territory taking ministry. Is that not written in the book? Long hours of what? Advancement prayer. And we say we are taking territories in the 190 nations. Nobody should be jealous of us if you see, homecoming or a program and people have come from Taiwan, from Mongolia, from what is the name of that Sultan of Brunei? People are coming from Brunei. People are coming from Kuala Lumpur. People are coming from Burma. People are coming from Kazakhstan. They are coming to hear Ghana. Wow. Don't be angry. Don't be angry if you see a lot of Indians, a lot of Chinese, a lot of Indonesians. Don't be angry. We are taking territories. Number four is what? The comforting ministry. Amen. Comforting ministry. You can be hard and soft. Many things that God makes are hard and soft. Like an egg. Outside is hard, inside is soft. So it's not about always being soft or always being totally hard. We have hard and soft. Coconut. Inside is soft, outside is hard. Even your human body, the head is hard, inside is very soft. If you ever see a postmortem, you see soft like, it's like a, what do you call it? Soft. It's like a gray mincemeat. Oats. Yes. Oof. So comforting, the hardest person can be the greatest comforter. It's true. The hardest person. Many hard-looking people are comforting people. So a good shepherd is both. Amen. Number five, the measurement ministry. Beautiful. How many are going to go into the measurement ministry? Put a measuring tape on your life and analyze the realities. Amen. And number six, the ministry of correction. Facing people, correcting things, growing wild. Amen. You know, one day my son was in school and I think he met somebody from Yemen. Either Yemen or Saudi. And he said that, there's nothing like stealing there. There's nothing like stealing. Or traffic light that somebody is crossing. There's nothing like that. What will happen to you if you do? You know, you see that. You don't do. So many times things are allowed. That's why everything goes astray. Because there's no serious correction of things that are evil. Yes. He said, this place, he said, why you see people, so, you two are stolen something. Nobody will steal anything. You steal, your hand will be off. They amputate your hand. Yes. They amputate your hand, you go to hospital. Straight. Yes. You never steal anything. You see, so the absence of correction, it's what we have all these things around. Yes. That's why some people are strong believers in the death sentence. And some people, because of the mistakes that people make in the death sentence thing, they are against it. But others are also saying that the human nature, do you understand, is so evil that if you don't correct, people don't fear. Yes. Are you there? And then finally, the feeding ministry. All right? The importance of the feeding ministry of a shepherd cannot be overemphasized. It's the principal duty. Everything else comes after he has done this principal duty. The authority to lead is given to those with the ability to feed. Write it down. The authority to lead is given to those with the ability to feed. You see, you have the authority to lead people when you can feed them. When you feed somebody, you have some power over the person. But I gave you your food. What are you saying? Am I not the one giving you food? I'm the one feeding you. That's why I have the power and authority to lead you if you are humble. Micah 7 verse 14. Feed thy people with thy rod. Feed what? Thy people with thy rod. So the one of the rod ministries is feeding. You can see the rod is used for feeding the flock of thine heritage, which dwelt solitarily in the wood, in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead, as in the days of old. Amen. I have people in my church who are older and wiser than I am in many respects. Yet in the church, I am their leader and I minister to them. Where would I get the authority to advise someone who could be my father or my mother? This authority is found in the ability to feed. That's why a young boy can be a pastor of grown-ups. Because once he can feed them with the word of God, he sort of rises up and has some authority over the people that he feeds. So whoever you are not too young. Once you hold the word of God and you minister, you begin to have authority to lead people. Because, you see, if you see many of the people who are called prophets and so on, many of them are young boys and young men with gifts from God. And because they can feed, they have authority to lead people. And people come to them for leadership and inspiration and guidance. Are you there?
Yeah.
Yes. So develop your feeding ministry. And how do you feed? Your feeding ministry depends on your hearing ministry. You see, that's why people who are deaf are also dumb. Rarely do you have a deaf person who is not dumb or a dumb person who is not deaf. It goes together. Because once you can't hear, you can't speak. If you don't hear, you will not know how to speak. So people who don't listen to preaching, they never develop the ability to preach. If you listen to preaching, it makes you develop the ability to preach. So your preaching ability is connected largely to your ability to listen to preaching and to listen to messages, reading books, and especially listening. I've been listening to messages. I listen to messages every single day. I'm listening to messages. This person, that person, that person, that person. Because every dumb person is also deaf. And every dumb pastor or dumb preacher or dumb meaning cannot preach is not a hearing person. God, your hearing even changes your style of preaching and talking. You start changing your style of talking to the person you listen to a lot. It's true. The way you talk. There are certain things I say and I do. I realize, oh, it's because I listen to this person. That's why I'm even saying this and doing this. That's the way. So develop your feeding ministry by addicting yourself to messages and listening and getting to the place where you enjoy it. They say naturally you become a shepherd. You'll be looking for places to share. And always your ministry starts with one person. One sheep is your sheep. That's it. Then you are a shepherd. You are a pastor. Once you go, that's why they asked David, have you left those few sheep? People mock me for years. How you have 10 people? You say it's a branch. You have this, you say it's a branch. Look at me now, I'm preaching on Facebook. You can see the thousands of people that are watching. Different groups. At first, people mock, they just laugh at me. But recently, it's not so easy to laugh, eh? It's not that easy to be laughing. Yes. It's not that easy to laugh. You know, I'll give you something that you listen to, right? The Bible says, who is a wise man? Who is a wise man? Let him show out of his good conversation his works. You see, works show who is a wise man. And he said, let him show out of his good conversation his works in the meekness of wisdom. There's humility of wisdom. It's wise to be humble. Meekness is humility. The humility, if you check with the New International Reader's Version of one, you see humility that comes from wisdom, from being wise. It's wise to be humble. Amen. Yes. Wise people aren't proud. Beautiful. Anyway, so it's not about whatever, but it's about your works. Amen. Beautiful. Where does your earthly father get his authority from to tell you what to do with your life? It comes from the fact that he has fed you for years and continues to feed you. When your parents no longer feed you, the authority they have over your life drastically reduces. Is it not true? When your parents don't feed you, you are separate from your parents. Their power over you reduces. Like you do what you want. I have a son who is a doctor. He feeds himself. My authority over what he's doing is less and less. I just get news. Yeah. That's the reality. The ones you don't feed somebody, you can't come home at 7. Ha! eat this, do this. No. It gets less. So once you can feed, that's why every shepherd should become a wild feeder. And should become a wild hearer of messages. Hallelujah. The principal duty of all ministry offices is to teach and to preach. Amen. It should be clear to every minister that our main resolve is to preach and to teach the word of God. What did Paul tell Timothy? Paul predicted that a time would come when people would not want the Bible to be preached. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the word. 2 Timothy 4, 1 to 4. All right? Preach the word. For the time will come they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears away from the truth. Today many people prefer to receive a prophecy. They want a quick bless me prayer or some anointing with oil. Pastors, shepherds, church members, develop your ability to feed and to preach. It is your greatest asset. Look around you and observe the great men of God you know. You will soon discover that every successful man of God has a strong ability to deliver the word. Because this is so important, I'm going to devote the whole of the next chapter to developing the art of preaching and teaching. Next chapter. Amen? Are you listening? So God is blessing us with shepherding. And I know that many of us watching are turning into shepherds. We are going to be a nation of shepherds. Stand to your feet, everybody. Don't forget, we are in our book, What It Means to Be a... Put it up on the screen, that book, if you have it, please. What it means to be a shepherd. Father, thank you for the blessing of today and your holy word. Bless everyone that is part of this amazing service. Anoint us, lead us, use us. Use us as shepherds. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything,
use anything, Lord, you can use me.
God can use you.
Use me, Lord. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
You can use me, Jesus.
Lord, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Use me, Jesus.
Take my hands, Lord, and my feet.
Touch my heart.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me.
If you can use anything.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
If you can use anything, Lord.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Use me, Jesus. Your hands, everyone, wherever you are. Father, thank you that you can use so many of us, Lord. What it means to become a shepherd on the screen, please. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you can use any one of us, Lord. We lift our hands to you and we ask you, Father, thank you for your power to raise up shepherds. Thank you for raising up shepherds, Lord. Thank you for your power all over the world, Lord. Thank you for your power and your mercy that is flowing, Lord. Thank you for your power and your mercy that is flowing to raise up shepherds and leaders from all of us. Thank you for planting many, many more churches, many more churches, taking much more territory through the wonderful people that you are touching every Sunday and every time we gather and we pray. I bless you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that your people will not be without a shepherd. Your people will not be scattered. Thank you for Taiwan. Thank you for Mongolia. Thank you for Brunei. Thank you for India. Thank you for China. Thank you for Indonesia. Thank you for Malaysia. Thank you for Singapore. Thank you for Korea, North Korea. Thank you for South Korea. Thank you for Colombia. Thank you for Chile. Thank you for Paraguay. Thank you for Panama. Thank you for Nicaragua. Thank you for Honduras. Thank you for Mexico. Thank you for the nations, Lord. Thank you for Australia and all the islands. Thank you for your power that is at work. Thank you. We love you, Lord. We praise you. Thank you for Africa. Thank you for all the nations of Africa. We'll be filled with churches, Lord. All the seven great towns of each nation. We'll build cathedrals there, Lord. We'll have bishops, Lord, churches and shepherds and pastors and workers. We'll give our life to the fruitful work of being a shepherd. We thank you, Father, for this great commission, great calling. We'll not relent. We are not changing course, Lord. Thank you that we are pressing on. Thank you for the seven ministries of Poimen. Thank you, Lord, for the way-making ministry. Thank you, Lord, for the correction ministry. Thank you for the feeding ministry. Thank you for all the ministries, Lord, the ruling ministry, the comforting ministry, the measurement ministry. Thank you for the feeding ministry, the ministry of correction. Thank you that they are all coming on practically in our lives. We thank you for territory taking ministry that begins, Lord, for 190 nations. Thank you that children everywhere are going to arise and are going to go out to the fields that are white, and there will be something that we can do. All our mockers will be left with their mouths stuck wide open as they see what great works, Lord, you have accomplished. Thank you, Lord. Blessed is the man that sitteth not in the seat of the scoffers or the mockers, Lord. But Lord, we are part of those that love you and serve you to the very end. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity. Now lift your hand and thank God for the opportunity. He has saved you from the pandemic. He has saved you from death. He has saved you from evil that moves around by day and by night, and has preserved your life so that you can serve him and be part of this last wave of evangelism, of church planting, of church building, of doing the will of the Father all the days of your life. Father, we lift our hands. We give you thanks and we give you praise, for you have begun a good work and you shall surely bring it to a perfect end. We thank you that the old, the young, the limbo sanakata, the new and the old, amonde samanonde parada, shall be part of this great wave, Lord, this last wave, Lord. Thank you for starting this ministry, for beginning with us, Lord, and ending with us, and helping us, Lord, to accomplish your will in our day and in our time. Thank you for giving us the measurement ministry, which is analyzing our real conditions. Thank you for correcting us, changing things, moving things around. Thank you that we will never be tired of listening to changes and the changes and modifications and directions and redirections of your spirit. Thank you that all steps, Lord, and all things will work together for our good. Thank you, we'll be there at the end. We'll be lifting our hands gloriously and thanking you that, Lord, you help us to survive to the very end. Thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us is condemned, it is cursed in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this blessed shepherd's ministry. From every continent, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ today? Ah, what a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. You want to give your life to Jesus? Want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to God today. If you want to give your life, say this prayer with me. You want to humble yourself before God today, say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus. Let's all join. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I receive you as my Savior, my Lord, and my Master. Please write my name in the book of life. I thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And I praise you, Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. Please write my name in the book of life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You may be seated. If you gave your life to Jesus, you pray this prayer with me. I want you to look on the screen. There's a number there. Text us or send us a WhatsApp. Okay? Many people have been sending WhatsApp. We want to give your life to Jesus. We will respond to your call. We'll either call you, send your WhatsApp, something. But you look at the number on the screen. It's +233 560 33 3079. It's a complicated number, but it's the real number. If you can write it down, and just you can save it as a soul number, the soul's number, all right? And just send us a message. And if we don't respond, please send another WhatsApp so that your WhatsApp comes to the top. And if we don't still respond, call the number, flash us, we'll call you back. What a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. It's time for Holy Communion. Amen. Take your Holy Communion in your house, everyone. I'm going to pray with you. We are going to have Holy Communion. Amen.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you.
Take the bread.
Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The cup of blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal, the meal of God. It will sustain you, it will make you whole, it will give you life. When I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Now, Genesis 14 and verse 18, it says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God." Amen. "And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thine hand." And he gave him tithes of all. You see here Melchizedek, the priest, he brought forth the bread and the wine, just as we are bringing forth the bread and the wine. Communion goes with blessings. That's what the Bible calls it, the cup of blessing. The cup of blessing which we bless. Is it not the communion, the cup of blessing? So Melchizedek was about to bless Abraham. A blessing was about to come forth. And that's why he brought the bread and the wine. So in the same mode, Jesus also came and gave us the bread and the wine. And so there are blessings all around right now as we are about to partake of this amazing meal. The blessings that surround this meal. The blessing. The cup of blessing. Father, thank you. We come before your table. Nala doshigelere. I stand, Lord, to administer the bread and the wine. And I know you are going to bless everybody who is part of this bread and wine. This is now the body of Jesus Christ, broken. And as long as you do this, you do show the Lord's coming, the Lord's death, till he come. The body of Jesus Christ. Eat your bread now. And take your wine.
you have real wine, it's good. This is real wine. This is not a juice. It's wine. If you know that it will cause problems for you in terms of taking you to the past, get some juice, please. Now, the cup of what? Blessing. Father, we thank you. Blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. May a blessing come upon us as we partake of this wine. This is now the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be